This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Ring the bell. Golden Oak Lending has lowered rates. Lower your mortgage payment, get cash out, or pay off credit cards. Visit goldenoaklending.com today.
Golden Oak Lending, cured my blues.
NMLS 114937.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Wake up! Wake up! Mike Mulligan, David Haw.
We've got John Heyman. John, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. How are you guys doing?
Doing pretty well.
Yeah, we had a rough weekend for some of us, but
I'm sorry.
Why bring that up?
Do you think the Cubs look complete to you? They're bringing back Matt Shaw, it sounds like, to play third base after his stint in the minors.
Yes, they are calling up Matt Shaw. I can tell you that for sure.
Swinging a fly ball to right field and deep. Back goes Sanchez. Back near the fence. That's over his head and bouncing into the stands. Ground rule double. The go-ahead run is in. Welcome back to Matt Shaw. Matt Shaw will hit one toward the middle. That's a base hit. That's a big one, Ron. That gives him a two-hit game in his first game back. The pitch to Sanchez. Pulled fair inside first. Down into the right field corner. The tying run is in. Here comes the winning run, and the ball game is over.
Start your mornings with Mully and Haw, 5:30 till 10 a.m. on 670 The Score.
Yeah, the ninth inning did not go well.
Let's go.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Couldn't help but wonder, where was that Cubs meltdown over the weekend?
Good morning, Mully. Happy Tuesday. That didn't cross my mind. What crossed my mind was, really? You're going to let the Marlins do that?
I couldn't believe it either.
But in all seriousness, yeah. And when you take a step back, this is what the Marlins do.
Yeah.
This is their sixth walk-off victory of the season, 8-7 rally to beat the Cubs in Miami. They have more walk-off victories than any team except for the San Francisco Giants, six of their 19 victories in walk-off fashion, the way it was last night when Daniel Palencia blew it.
Yeah, you know, you can't help but feel Daniel Palencia blew it. And then after the game, Porter Hodge headed to the IL with the oblique. You didn't know that going in. And, man, that is just a drag. I like Daniel Palencia. I thought he might be a guy that, oh, you maybe try a bigger role for that guy. And then here you go.
I liked it when Bruce was comparing him to Carlos Marmol.
There you go. That was yesterday.
That was what I wanted to go in with.
Yeah.
And he was one strike away from us coming in here this morning and saying, you know what? Yeah. The Cubs might have a closer here.
Yeah, well, that's not going to be said.
Oh, boy.
Here's the thing. Like, you had that was I don't want to say it was a good baseball game, but it was a dramatic baseball game. There were leads and comebacks and leads. And you thought that they had solved it. You thought, okay, well, that's it then. Oh, look at that. That's so nice. And then you have what happened, and you just sit there and you're kind of like,
they let a winnable game slip away.
That's one
and
in the, that's a win lost. That's exactly right.
They had one of those games where you circle mentally
Yep.
Because you don't want it to come down to one. It might not. And look, no. there's still eight games over 500. They can still win the series. But when you lead like that, you should close it out. And the Cubs have had too many blown leads this year. And it's the same type of thing we talked about a year ago.
That's right.
It hasn't hurt them as badly because their offense is better. But the bullpen remains. I think if we're doing power rankings of Cubs concerns this morning, bullpen's at the top of the list.
Yeah, and I still think it might be starting pitching, even with the bullpen problems, because I don't know about you winced when Dustin suggested Ben Brown move to the bullpen.
I did. It was visible. It was a wince.
Yes, but I felt that his performance yesterday was one of those games where the manager kind of would say to him, it's just not enough. It's not good enough. You know what I mean? That's exactly what it was. It was close enough, but that's not good enough.
Well, you start out with back-to-back homers. That's not good.
That's okay. That's,
this just in.
Stop that.
When you start the game
Don't
giving
do
two
that.
Home runs in the first inning, not good. But then he settled down.
Yes.
And
they came back.
Like 11 in a row, he retired.
Right.
But
he got knocked out.
The only reason I winced, Mully, at the thought of Ben Brown leaving the rotation, and Dustin, maybe you can have expand here because of that idea, because Ben Brown leaving the rotation at a time when Shota Imanaga, we learned yesterday,
is going to take a little longer.
It's going to go into June. Yeah. I don't know that you can afford to take somebody out of that rotation because you have Cade Horton you're hoping stays consistent enough to keep in the rotation. Ben Brown, it wasn't what you wanted last night, but what's his replacement?
Jordan Wicks.
Boy.
It's worth a shot. Let's see Ben Brown. What Craig Counsell has been complaining about is that the lack of swing and miss stuff out of the bullpen, and they don't. And at least the one thing Ben Brown does have is swing and miss stuff. He does leave too many pitches in the middle of the plate, but it was a really – when the Cubs were able to take that lead back last night after Amaya, they come back and he strikes out the side in the bottom of the fourth inning. And I thought, damn, that's a hell of a way to answer as a pitcher after your offense gave you the lead. And it just I feel like he has that mentality, and I think the fact that he is stretched out – we heard Craig Counsell post-game talk about that Palencia was kind of winded. He's been working really hard.
Well,
but he was
been
winded.
Pitching a lot.
Right. But I'm saying I feel as Ben Brown is conditioned to go, I think Ben Brown could take, if the Cubs were in a position, I think Ben Brown could take the ball three straight nights in the ninth inning, okay, to try and get three outs. I think he is conditioned enough to do that, and he has the swing and miss. Palencia has swing and miss
swing
as
and
well.
Miss. Yep.
But, I mean, I'm just saying.
Well, I would look at it.
Let's see the day.
Later.
I haven't done the math. I haven't looked to see, you know, do you have a day where you're getting a day off where you can go four guys. I would see where Jordan Wicks is at.
But you know what I didn't like, Aaron? The lack of clarity about Shota. He's going to be on the mound, he's going to pitch again, but he's into June.
Well, and, like, into the
20th of May.
I understand that.
Does that mean it
raises your eyebrow and it does, alarm goes off in your head. But you're talking about somebody, let's go back to the first day that he was injured.
They
were consistent.
He's
never had this before.
Right.
So there was some ambiguity about his return because they've never been through this recovery process with this athlete. So we don't know. And that sounded, I heard a little bit of not frustration with him, but just kind of not knowing. It's going to be probably mid-June.
If you're like a little kid and you hear, we're going to Disney World sometime in June, you're kind of like, what day is it now? How long, like, time stands still.
Are we there yet?
Yeah, it's just,
are we there
waiting
yet
for this kid?
Yeah, but I think that while they wait, they don't have to abandon
yet
hope. But that's the way.
Shut up.
Exactly. That's what you want to say. So every time the Crick Council is asked about Shota Imanaga, and Jed Hoyer, we'll talk to him at 9 o'clock, he may tell us to okay, we're almost there. We're almost there. Stop asking.
You ordered a pizza on a Friday night, and you're like, should we call?
Should we call?
It's already an hour late.
It's been 45 minutes.
Exactly.
It's been an hour.
When is the feeling.
When is it ready to call? When are they going to deliver? Well, you know, you just have to wait until mid-June. If June 15th arrives and still no pepperoni and sausage, okay.
That's problematic.
You're still going to be hungry. Yeah, it's going to be a problem. But I don't know that Jordan Wicks is the answer. I don't know if the answer to the Cubs' pitching woes is in the organization right now. Something tells me, and this is big picture, but something tells me that they're going to have to add a reliever and they're going to add a starter before the trade deadline, and it's way too early to have those kind of expectations.
Yep.
They're just going to have to muddle through this tough portion without some of their key guys.
Well, it's not a tough portion. This is the easy portion.
Only because of the injuries.
Yeah, because of the injuries, it's tough. But I think that is the problem with a game like yesterday, where you're clearly dragging a little bit, and you come back, and then somebody blows. You know what I'm saying?
Like,
it was just one of those games. That's like, you shouldn't have an 8-7 walk off.
You should not. But let's do this. I know we will, because
you've done enough.
We'll be back here tomorrow. We'll revisit the starting rotation conversation after we see what Jameson Taillon has tonight. Because if he has another clunker, and he has given up 7 home runs in his last 186 pitches.
Crazy.
If he gives up another clunker, then they may have to consider some other alternatives to either give guys a rest to spin through the rotation, or look at a guy like Jordan Wicks as being able to try to supply some help.
J-Mo, it may be a trend now. Open the game with 2 solo homers.
Let's hope not.
Because the solo homer is the problem.
The solo homer, they're rally killers, but I think that if you're starting the game, they're not. It's just one of these things.
Start the game with a couple of those.
No.
Damn it.
The Marlins, they're pesky.
They're pesky, but they're really not a good team.
They're not that good of a team. They should beat them. They should be a team that you welcome playing, even in Miami, in that odd park, in that very strange ballpark. A lot of different looks to that ballpark.
And it was good. It was good for the Sox to get home and just really kind of uncork that offense, get things going. What?
Well, meanwhile, on the south side, the same old, same old.
Same old.
Sox can't hit, and then they give up a grand slam to one of the best players in baseball. Oh. Julio Rodriguez hit a grand slam. It was competitive up to that point, and it was one of those games, again, where the Sox looked engaged. It was close, and then the grand slam.
Yeah. And Bryce Wilson takes the bump today. So
that doesn't give you a ton of confidence. He's the weak link in that rotation.
Say it, the rosary.
Did the White Sox make that move, though, taking the pitcher out based on strictly pitch count? Because that's as far as –
Davis Martin went deep.
Right. Yep. It was the deepest he had gone.
He went deep.
I would have liked to have seen him get in that as Chuck and Chuck and Ozzie talked about postgame, that clutch moment, right? Like, maybe they don't even get to that point. I mean, you have to score more than a run, obviously, to win most baseball games. Yeah. The White Sox didn't score a run.
I love Chuck and Ozzie, but what was missing from the clutch moment? Who didn't have the clutch?
Just in general, the Sox just don't have clutch, and the Mariners do have clutch.
I think
in general,
the Sox overall lack talent. That's not meant to be mean. That's just an observation. I love those guys, but I don't know that they're good players that lack a clutch gene. I think they're good players that have a ceiling that is too low.
I think they're good players that lack talent. No offense to anyone, but how many real baseball players are on the roster?
How many guys?
If you want to talk about hitting, wait till Andrew Benintendi comes back. Oh, he's a.
How many guys on the Sox team? I know. Well, help. Somebody did add that to the conversation. But how many guys in the Sox team, clutch gene or not, are going to be starters if the Sox are ever above 500 again? Or competing for a division title again? You can look at Miguel Vargas, the American League Player of the Week, and say probably, maybe. You can look around the infield and outfield and say, really? I don't know that there's many other players. The catcher, I think Edgar Caro. Edgar Carroll's probably going to be here when they're good.
Edgar Caro.
Chase Meidroth.
Yeah.
Okay, Chase Meidroth. We have 3. Yeah. Luis Robert Jr., he's going to be traded as soon as he's good enough to get traded.
God. I hope he gets better so they can trade him. Isn't that horrible? They got problems. There's problems. There's problems in paradise. I don't know what to tell you.
That was a cold night at the Raitt Field. Yeah. It was chilly.
Yesterday was a very mediocre day.
Very mediocre May Day. It was. The weather was full of mediocrity.
It was, man. I mean, the weather.
Kind of like the Sox? Or
yes, the weather. Mother Nature didn't have a clutch gene in Chicago.
Let me be brutally honest. The weather is going to have to start doing better. It's not good enough.
It's not a good month. Yeah,
no, we're not gonna be having dust storms and rainy days. I mean, you got to do better.
Was that the weirdest thing ever? That dust storm.
Yeah, we talked about it yesterday.
We blame Beyonce.
You should have been here.
It kept me from going to Coombs on Friday evening. I was worried about getting on the highway.
Yeah, you should have been.
Did you make it to the Beyonce concert the next night though?
No.
Okay.
No. Yeah. I didn't have to pick up my wife like Brandon did.
Is she still here? Or is she?
No, she's gone out of town.
Did she leave? Yeah. Damn it.
The weather has been terrible. Let's face it, it's just been terrible.
Was that the Cowboy Carter tour? I thought
it was three nights. She didn't perform Friday night. I found that out yesterday.
That is correct.
During our conversation. I think we misinterpreted her being here, the continuation of it, but she was only performing three out of four nights. Hmm. So saved you a trip into the city on Friday night, Brandon, to pick up your wife.
It's so awful.
But yeah, last night was chilly. It was chilly. I was at the Raitt and we did our show.
It looked cold up there.
Thank you.
Yeah.
It was chilly.
Ozzy has complained about that. You're on the top of a roof, and it's kind of cutting you down.
Did you see his post-game show?
No.
He bundled up like it was Christmas Eve.
Oh, my gosh.
He was bundled up. It was so crazy. It was football weather.
Yeah.
It really was.
Put a hit on someone.
No wonder the Sox can't hit. I mean, it's cold conditions. But they did honor. But
when it warms up, they can't hit, too.
This is our daily Pope reference, because
I knew you would enjoy that. Let's go.
They did have a nice pregame ceremony. The family who owns the season ticket holders, Section 140. They have a mural. They had a framed 14 Leo.
Yes.
And they had a little nice tribute to the seat where Pope Leo sat during the 2005 World Series.
Yes, yeah, hysterical. That's so funny.
And then we know he was presented a Bears jersey.
Yeah,
I saw that too. Yeah.
That's something.
Number 14.
Yeah.
The most celebrated 14 in Bears history.
J.D. Vance doesn't move up the list, though.
Okay.
He's on the Pope's list. Write down this name. I'll scratch a line through it.
You know, those interactions haven't looked too awkward, though, knowing all those things that he's kind of his history.
And knowing how awkward J.D. Vance is.
Knowing the history of awkwardness with the vice president, yes.
Oh,
but,
gosh.
Yeah, that could be that's something that every day, maybe once a week, we should look for like a This Week in Pope Leo,
Chicago
connection.
We had the trainer thing the other day. That was good.
It's a funny story.
That's a very funny story.
The trainer, personal trainer for Pope Leo, recognized him on television. Said, "Hey,
that's the guy from the gym," and he's coming out for the Pope.
That's Bob from the gym.
That's so funny. That's awesome.
Never knew that he was a cardinal.
Yes.
Never knew that he was.
Didn't know he was religious.
No. No, just kind of
not
the
way he was cussing trying to get those weights up. That is a joke. He never said that. That see now the thumb's
going to go to confession.
The thumb's going to crush me. It's going to come through the roof.
You're going to get crushed.
I'm sorry.
That's at least 10 Hail Marys.
It was just a joke about my own issues
and to our fathers.
I will mumble.
Shame on you.
I didn't mean it.
But that was a funny story. CNN had it.
It was really
good.
Yeah, you sent it to me, and I sent it out to some friends. Yeah, everybody enjoyed it.
Entertaining. There's a lot of good Pope references. He's Chicago's now.
It's so funny.
So there's going to be a lot of local ties.
I'm getting a huge kick out of it, but I was surprised to talk to a buddy of mine yesterday who's kind of like Dustin, feels that there should be more mystery and there should be more separation. You know, we don't really want.
Well, you know, you grow up with the. And yes. I know I don't need to tell you, but the infallibility of the Pope is a thing.
Exactly.
So
right.
So you learn to have.
But that's regarding
that
religious
way.
Matters.
You don't grow up learning about the relatability of
the
Pope.
He can be wrong in taking the Sox over the Cubs.
Yeah, that's
as this year is proving.
Right. Everybody's. You know,
as we learned over the
you're
weekend.
Allowed that. You forgive. And you move on.
That's so funny.
Does his penance, and that's fine. But I know what you mean. There's some people
infallible
still.
Infallible in matters of the church.
Spiritual matters.
Thank you.
Yeah, not sports matters.
Yeah. No.
But it's,
none of us from this town have that advantage.
The relatability thing will be something people gradually get used to or have to get used to.
It's funny.
But it's fun.
It's great. It's really
so you had the Cubs and the Sox. Boy, disappointing night in Chicago baseball.
Yeah, it was awful.
And there really wasn't much else going on.
You know,
the playoffs.
I think we, there's a pause in the playoffs, and then you get to sit back and look at.
Needed that, though.
I really enjoyed kind of sitting back and thinking about the four teams and the different stars and how you put that together and how the finals, the conference finals and the NBA finals are going to be absorbed by the general public.
Who's the best that player left in the NBA playoffs?
That's easy. It's
no, it's not easy.
Yes, it
no,
is.
No, it's not easy.
It's Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. He's going to be the MVP this year.
This series will prove it.
Yes.
He's okay, going to be I think he's had the best season. If you had to pick one player on the remaining four teams, who would you pick? Would it be him? Would it be SGA?
If you were starting a team?
Yes.
Yeah, I'd take him.
Anthony Edwards?
I was just about to go there, but I would say that the Ant has a chance to surpass him. We'll find out. But so far, this has been his year over greater than Anthony Edwards.
I agree no way with around that. I do wonder if this conference finals will be that moment. If the Timberwolves win, it could be because Anthony Edwards has that moment.
And
has that ascension that we – look at, he's already a star. He's already an Olympian.
Had
all
they
those things.
Lost game seven.
Yeah.
And then, Shai gets the MVP. I think you could stop and say, bad vote. It's the Joker. If they lost, but they won.
They won.
So I think that, and I'll tell you something else.
Okay.
That team is blanking scary moving forward. They have so many draft picks. They've got so. That they could do anything.
Back to back?
Name a player that you want to get. They could change their organization. They are loaded.
Giannis.
With all sorts. They could easily. They have.
How come nobody mentions that?
They have the material to go out and get him. I think because they're in pretty good shape and they might not need Giannis. And Giannis is a little bit older.
They haven't won anything yet.
And that's what. And that's why, for instance, I would say. That if you were rating players, you rated like the top four players, you get to the Eastern Conference.
Jalen Brunson
is Mr. Clutch, but can you be Mr. Clutch if you're beaten by Indiana in the Eastern Conference Finals?
Talk to me in 2
Doesn't
weeks.
Mr. Clutch have to win that series? And if you get into a finals and you're Mr. Clutch. Like what I'm saying is,
I don't think this is
you be Mr. Clutch without winning when it matters most?
Yeah, I don't think this is a referendum on Jalen Brunson.
I don't think it is either.
But I do think that he could emerge from this as the player. I don't want to say the MVP, but he will cement his legacy if he can take them to the NBA Finals.
Right.
And I do think that this coaching matchup is going to be one that is two of the best coaches in the league, Tom Thibodeau and Rick Carlisle.
I'd take Carlisle over Thibodeau.
Wow.
If I were choosing.
I think
it's not hard for me.
It's not hard for you?
No, I think it's that obvious.
It's not obvious to me.
Is it obvious?
It's not obvious. No,
Brandon,
no.
Is it obvious?
It's not obvious.
I would take Rick, too. I'm not going to lie.
It's a toss-off.
I just feel like with Tibbs, though, the only thing is just – playing the starters too hard.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
That's the only thing.
The problem. The problem is, again, where's the next level
minutes.
When you get into the playoffs?
It hasn't hurt him this year.
It's because the other team got hurt.
You can argue, too, like you guys was just saying, too, if Jalen Brunson do get to probably either the finals or even the Knicks win the finals, you can argue and say Jalen Brunson is probably the greatest Knick of all time.
Wow.
Well, I mean, you got to – that's a tough one.
You won him a championship.
Well, Frazier would beg to differ.
Me, between them two.
Bill Bradley? Well, someone on those teams?
Patrick Ewing never won.
If Jalen Brunson leads the Knicks to an NBA championship this year, that's a very good take. And you're ahead of the game. That's possible.
What about somebody who comes out limping and decides that he's going to...
Willis Reed?
I got a broken leg, but Willis I'm going to win
possibly.
A title anyway.
Do you think Adam Silver fears an Indiana, Oklahoma City NBA Finals?
Sure. Why wouldn't
he?
And I think it's probably going to happen, or it could very well happen. I should put it that way. Yeah, I mean, does that move the count? Does that move the needle? Is anybody, like, I think the TV executives, the minute the Knicks go down, that's the end of television ratings for the NBA Finals. It's also the end of throwing stuff at people and mugging fans and such. Did you see that one? The guy that's walking down the street in the uniform, and he gets garbage dumped on. People are throwing
bags of
garbage.
He got free tickets now.
That's terrible.
Yeah, who reached out to him?
Pat McAfee, I think they gave him like free tickets or something.
Halliburton
came a part of it too.
Gave him his dad's tickets.
Yeah.
Oh, stop it. Why do you bring that up?
Hey, if the Pacers are in the NBA Finals and it's game one in whether it's on the road and it's going against a Fever game in
Fever
Indianapolis.
Fever draw more. They do.
Which would be more interesting in Indianapolis.
Mean, I'm not making this up. The Fever outdraw the Pacers. But they've got Caitlin Clark. And yeah. She is the best player in the NBA. What? Wait.
She's the best player in the WNBA.
No, that's Angel Reese.
Okay.
No, it's probably Asia Wilson, right? Isn't she the best player in the WNBA?
Yeah, she's probably. But yeah. Clark is right up there.
Clark's pretty good.
She's pretty good.
Clark's pretty good.
Yeah. Indianapolis and Oklahoma City, those two markets, if they're in the NBA Finals, yeah, the NBA commissioner and network executives are going to be cringing.
If I were the NBA, I would move Oklahoma City back to Seattle, because it's just a better town to play.
Last time they won a title, that franchise. 1979. Can you name it starting five?
The starting five? No, I can't.
From
name
the 1979
starting five.
No, Seattle Supersonics?
I can.
Jack Sikma, John Johnson, Dennis Johnson, Gus Williams, and
Yeah, you can't either after that.
Wow,
question.
Hold on. John Johnson, well, Jack Sikma, Gus Williams, Dennis Johnson.
Get Googling.
I'm not Googling this. I'm going to Google during the break.
Is that your team?
Those are four out of the five. I love that team.
Okay.
Lenny Wilkins was a coach.
Lenny Wilkins, great coach.
Yeah. I love the uniforms.
I loved going to Seattle when they were in
Wally
Seattle.
Walker, maybe. To check that out.
Yeah. All right. We'll have that information for you next.
it's vital information.
We'll finally get to the Google. We've got the Pick Six. Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to score.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Ring the bell. Golden Oak Lending has lowered rates. Lower your mortgage payment, get cash out, or pay off credit cards. Visit goldenoaklending.com today.
Golden Oak Lending, cured my blues.
NMLS 114937.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
It's Pick Six with Mullion Haw, where we debate the top six sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Haw. Pick Six with Mullion Haw starts now.
Can you believe Miguel Vargas, or any White Sox player for that matter, was named the American League Player of the Week? Did you feel differently about the Cubs purposely throwing at him after the week he had, after hearing what Spiegel and Holmes talked about on the afternoon show about Vargas purposely attempting to shield PCA from seeing a ball in the outfield? Will there, should there be retribution when the two teams meet on the South Side in July?
And that's an interesting question, the second part of it. First of all, congratulations to the Player of the Week, Miguel Vargas. That's great to see a guy get rewarded for a really good run. And I don't know how sustainable it is, but I think he's shown now that you can be interested in him as a prospect, and maybe you don't move Colston Montgomery to third base. Maybe he just stays in the minor leagues for a very long time, just kind of toiling forever, and then you Tim Elko him. I'm just joking. I'm just making a bad joke. I think I do feel differently about. I thought that Matt and Lawrence had a phenomenal conversation. It just really interests me because I did not see what they were talking about as I watched the game. That he purposely attempted to shield PCA Vargas. He got in front of him on purpose and would not let him look over. And you know, frankly, that's good baseball. That is that's smart. That's what you're supposed to do. That kind of stuff is kind of tricks of the game stuff. Heady veteran stuff, the kind of little thing that you talk about in winning baseball. But the Sox don't appear to me, or I should say Will Venable doesn't appear to me to be somebody that is
petty.
I just don't see him playing heady baseball, not Barbie baseball, but I just don't see him going that route. I don't see the old school. I see a guy that is not going to teach bad lessons to his people. Is that a bad way of putting it? I mean it as a respectful, a new baseball guy, not an old baseball guy. That's all I meant.
Not surprised that Miguel Vargas was the Player of the Week based on what he did in both Cincinnati and over at Wrigley Field. The guy had himself a month, let alone a week. He was red, red hot. I was surprised PCA didn't get it. Somebody from the Reds was named the National League Player of the Week. But PCA had a good weekend at Wrigley, but not a good early week. As far as the retribution part, when these two teams get back together, sure, I'm all for it. As a fan, let's get some more. Friday, okay, the guy, I was in a little group text with a couple of buddies on Friday as that game got started. And, if you wanted to throw at somebody, or if the White Sox want to be upset with somebody, for waking the Cubs up Friday afternoon, look at Chase Meidroth, okay, for that ugly slide he had early on in the game that upset the Cubs. And from there on, the Cubs literally put their foot on their throat and never looked back. Okay, so if somebody's going to get thrown at early on in that series, it might be Meidroth, especially if he does any of that stuff again.
I think based on what we saw last year from Miguel Vargas, yes, shock and awe would be the reaction to him being named the American League Player of the Week. He did not look like a major league hitter last August and September. He did something with his hand placement that has been well documented now, and he's a different hitter. And his arc has changed in the organization. He now, you have expectations. The first White Sox player to be the player of the week since Luis Robert in 2023. It's been a long time. I think what we learned on the afternoon show was fascinating. Matt Spiegel unearthed this from talking with Len Casper, and Darren Jackson and Len had seen this in real time. Miguel Vargas was trying to block the view of Pete Crow Armstrong from the outfield. It's gamesmanship. It happens a lot. It's the game inside the game that people like Ron Coomer and Darren Jackson and ex-players see that we may miss. So it was nice to hear that brought to the airways. We'll listen to that audio later, which explains a lot about why Brad Keller, why the Cubs may have been agitated by Miguel Vargas or a little bit irritated. And I think Quentin Berry, the third base coach, was chirping a little bit, and they kind of escalated. So that might explain a little bit more to the story than we knew initially. Will this carry over into July, the Crosstown series then? Baseball players have tremendous memories, memories of elephants. They're never going to forget this kind of stuff. I don't think Will Venable is petty. I don't know that he can control this, though. The first time that somebody goes up there,
exactly,
they're going to remember.
It is a really fascinating question.
Voice of Jed Hoyer. He's with Mully and Haw this morning at 9 a.m. What did you think of Matt Shaw's ballyhooed return to the Cubs lineup? How long will they give Shaw to prove he belongs this time? Do you think they're done tinkering with the lineup or order after Ian Happ comes back tonight?
Well, Matt Shaw struck out the first time up, and I was like, okay, you're not in Iowa anymore. What's going on?
And you were
on?
Done with him.
I was like, okay, man. I have gone out on a limb for you, Matt Shaw. It's about time you start to deliver. And then he did. Two hits is nice. The go-ahead double was nicer. I liked what I saw. I don't know to the naked eye. You guys can weigh in. But the approach, the stance, I mean, we'll need more of a sample size to be able to judge. But I do think it was nice to see some lineup certainty. I know that that'll change when Happer comes back because everything else will go into its natural place. And probably Mo Baller will go back to Iowa, even though he had two hits. Moises Ballesteros had two hits last night. That was nice to see. But I do think that you need to settle into an everyday lineup. And I hope Matt Shaw does enough to stay, does enough to keep Jed Hoyer out of the trade market for third baseman. That said, I can't wait to ask Jed Hoyer where he stands in the evolution of this leadoff conversation. Because is it the guy that you want to grind out at bats like Ian Happ? Is he going back to the top of the order? Or have we seen a star is born on the north side? And PCA should stay leading off because you want one of the more dangerous hitters in baseball at the plate as often as possible.
Well, I would be shocked if PCA led off tonight, and that means Ian Happ's in the lineup batting fifth, as an example. I think the question is, how far down in the order does PCA go when Ian Happ takes his spot back? Because, I mean, Craig Counsell's already gone out of the way to say, that's his spot when he gets back.
Things change.
That's baseball.
Things change,
well,
Craig.
Let's see. So, David, you're saying you would keep PCA back at number one.
Yes.
Where would you bat Ian Happ? Would
fifth.
You move everybody down?
I would bat him fifth.
Okay. Interesting. So it's something to talk about. There's no doubt about that. I did think of you immediately when I saw Matt Shaw strike out last night. But I also, to be fair, I thought of you when Matt Shaw put the Cubs ahead 7-6 with that double, that he wanted to make a triple. I mean, he was flying.
Yeah.
He was flying. He can run.
He was flying
around those bases. So it felt good for him. That was a good moment for him. And, yeah, I guess Ballesteros will be the odd man out. And he'll be back down, and maybe you can learn how to slide. You know, put your foot on the base, son.
You know, if you go inside Ballesteros' numbers, they're excellent. I know he hasn't hit the hell out of the ball, but he doesn't strike out. When he came up, and you knew he was not going to strike
contact.
Out. Yes, he is a good player, and his numbers say, and I know this is a White Sox excuse, but he's been unlucky. The ball has gone at people more than he hasn't been hitting. So he has really good, strong contact. He hits the ball. I like that guy. I think he's going to be. I think he's going to be a good player whenever he gets a regular chance. I thought Matt Shaw seemed like and I was just kind of all I cared about was the idea that his leg kick had to stay below the waist. It seemed more subtle. It didn't seem as kind of I didn't want to get him in a chorus line. I thought he was doing.
It didn't
doing,
stand out.
It didn't jump out at you. So I think there has been an adjustment. I think he's done kind of what they want him to do. And it's you know, that's a hell of a game for him to come back. You're under that kind of scrutiny and you get a couple hits. That's pretty good.
Yep.
I'd feel good about him. And I do. I think he's going to be okay.
Let me just add this to the conversation before we move on. Ian Happ, lifetime batting fifth. If all the spots in the order, his OPS is highest when he's batting fifth. It's 885. And he's done that for 119 games and 406 at bats. So it has been done before, and he's been successful at it.
Yes, I am not arguing that. I like, we'll talk about it later. We'll I just don't want to get too much into the
weeds.
Batting order, line of beast stuff.
It's a great question.
All right, let's stop all the draft prep. The verdict is in. Did you see the Four Letter Network's latest NBA mock draft following last week's draft combine that Derek Queen is going to the Bulls at number 12? Queen reportedly falling because he didn't do well athletic testing and didn't shoot well in the drills. Would you be okay nonetheless if the 6'10", 247-pound 20-year-old out of Maryland was selected by your Bulls?
Well, that's our guy. We picked him a long time ago. That was the guy we identified. That guy would help the Bulls. He's got a beautiful touch. I don't know when they pulled him out of drills or I don't know what they were doing that he didn't do well at the combine. And frankly, that delights me because I think the athletic drills is interesting because I think you need to have a certain amount of athleticism in order to make a mark in the NBA. That guy kind of reminds me of Mark Aguirre, and I know that's a crazy thing to say because he's 6'10", and he plays a different position, but he's a big-bodied guy, and he gets the ball, and he can do some things, and he's you keep wondering, just playing the 82-game season, how much weight's he going to lose? How much better shape can you get him in? Could you get him into a gym and kind of turn him turn his body into Horace Grant's body? That's what happened with Horace. He got into the gym. He looked completely different than his twin brother Harvey because he became more of a power forward. I don't think he's Moses Malone, but I think he's got a big body that can grow and that you could work with. The lack of athleticism is going to bother teams if he can't do certain things and you feel like he can't run or he's a little tight here or there. I think there's a lot of hidden potential in that kid. We identified him early. That's our guy. Brandon, I was thinking of you as I saw this thing. I nearly fell off my chair. I was so pleased. That would be a win for the Chicago Bulls, in my opinion.
I agree. That would be a win. I think he's a guy that likes to go get a rebound. So that's something the Bulls lack, is somebody that likes to go get a rebound. So if he could be the replacement for Patrick Williams, I'm all in on that.
Yeah, I think definitely. Queen me. This is definitely something, if you're the Bulls, you like seeing this because you let him drop to you and you have a difference maker as a rookie. Now, I saw one report yesterday and all the speculation will continue for the next month, but the Asa Newell was linked to them or mocked to them.
Right.
Colin Murray Boyles was mocked to them.
KC,
did you see?
Talked to him. It was a really good interview.
It was a good interview at the combine.
Yep.
Yeah, Cam Smith talked to him as well, and was very impressed. And so, also the French player, Noah Essendjie, that the multi-talented, versatile? But you just don't know players coming from, you know, European leagues. You just wonder about that. Derek Queen seems to me like, I don't want to say a sure thing, but you could certainly see him translating well. These athletic deficiencies, I wonder if we're overthinking it. I mean, it's still basketball, and you watch him play, and anybody can remember him from the Big Ten, and we certainly saw him in the tournament. This is a guy who can play. I think it really translates to the next level well. So the more that we see him kind of dropping, the better off it seems for the Bulls.
When you have touch,
with that, I'll take your questions.
How would you describe the NBA Conference Finals? Two teams haven't won the NBA titles, and the Knicks haven't won since 1973. The Thunder since 1979, when they were the Supersonics. Do you like the new blood?
I really do. I think it, regardless of what the TV ratings may tell you, I think this is good for the league. I think the number of different champions, you can see it's happening already. Seven different champions the last 7 years. It's the NFL. It's what the NFL has wanted. It's what the NFL tried to legislate, enforce, or dictate the parity around the league. And I think that creates suspense. And these playoffs have been terrific. You know, the NHL and the NBA playoffs have delivered. And the NBA now down to the conference finals. Indiana and New York, two well-coached teams. I do think, in fairness, Rick Carlisle has an NBA championship. I would give him, I understand, the slight nod. But I do think that even though I am a native Hoosier, I think I would like to see the Knicks win this. And I think I would like to see the Knicks win this because I like the story of Tibbs. I like Jalen Brunson, and I like the way they play. I like how hard they play. And I know both teams play hard, but I think the Knicks are going to win this one in the East, and I think OKC is going to win this in the West, and that's going to be a fascinating final because OKC has the kind of depth they haven't seen since 1979 in Seattle when they were winning for the Supersonics, and the fifth starter on that team was Lonnie Shelton.
I don't consider that the same team.
I know, but historically they are. Hey, the Knicks haven't won since 73. Can you name that starting five?
I know Willis Reed limped out there. I thought we talked about that earlier.
No shot. Can't name that starting five. I do think it's good for the NBA that the Knicks are relevant and back in the mix. There's nothing wrong with that. I thought I was reading the question wrong. I don't think you can use the Thunder and the Supersonics in the same sentence. I don't think that works, but I understand technically, yes. The Western Conference Finals are really the de facto NBA Finals. I think either team would beat either team. Either team in the West would beat either team in the East in the finals. So I think whoever wins between the T-Wolves and the Thunder are going to be your NBA champions. But yes, it is good for the NBA to get some new faces out there. And if this young man from Minnesota that we talked about in the first segment of the show is supposed, the Ant-Man is supposed to be that guy, then okay, let's see you. Let's see what you can do against SGA. Let's see what you can do. The Thunder could like steamroll them though if they felt like the Nuggets kind of gave them a little bit of a wake up call. I don't think they want to go seven again. So, but I think overall it's good. You know, the problem with watching the Pacers is the woulda, shoulda, coulda for the Bulls, right? Haliburton could have been here, and I think that's the part that would bug you as a Bulls fan instead of Patrick Williams.
Molly, you had it. Willis Reed at center.
Yeah.
Jerry Lucas and Bill Bradley at
Bill
forward.
Bill Bradley.
And Walt Frazier and Earl, the Pearl Monroe.
And Phil off the bench.
Phil Jackson off the bench. Yes. Okay.
Okay. Fun. So listen, this is a really good to talk about because I'm fascinated by it. I think that Oklahoma City has to win this. I think that they're way ahead. I think they're the favorite left, and I think the Knicks are the second favorite, not because the Knicks are better than the Wolves, but because everyone is figuring that Oklahoma City has enough to get by the Wolves, and the SGA greater than sign Anthony Edwards. So that'll be very interesting to see because the Ant has all sorts of talents and all sorts of ability. I think it's Oklahoma City's championship. And I think that with the top two seeds out of the East, you look at that and you're kind of scratching your head a little bit. How good are the Knicks, right? The Knicks are a team, as you say, incredible, try hard, break your hump team. It can keep things close. They can go down 20 and come back. But I don't know. I don't think of them as a champion. And I absolutely love Jalen Brunson. And we saw him play in the championship game in college, David. It's certainly in the semifinals we saw him. I think I left before the final for various reasons. But, you know, great player and great story. But I would say that it's going to be OKC. I'm cheering for the Pacers. I hope they win, but it could be the Knicks. I say that through gritted teeth because I do not like I just don't like the Knicks. I don't like the fans. I don't like their whole attitude. I don't like the stars that show up. I think it's cool that Timothy Chalamet is having a seizure on the sidelines, but it doesn't do much for me. So I just like him because of that movie, the Dylan movie. But, you know, anyway, I think OKC wins it, and I think that it's going to be fairly easy for them. I don't think they're going to need seven games to dispatch Minnesota, certainly not against the Knicks.
Different question on a different topic.
Voice of Mike Florio joined at 8:44. Kurt Warner was on the afternoon show and said this about Caleb Williams' film-watching habits.
I would like to think that, you know, if you're 21, 22, 23, and you're stepping into the NFL, that you're an adult too. And, you know, you're willing to say, you know, and ask for help in areas that you're not getting help. Like, I can't believe, you know, if Caleb were to go into a coach and say, hey, coach, I need help watching film. Kind of take me through a process. Like, this is what I'm watching. I'm not sure if it's the right thing. Take me through that. I can't believe the coach would say, yeah, I don't have time for that. Caleb Williams, for goodness sakes. He could find the number of any player and any quarterback and any veteran quarterback that he wanted and said, hey, I'm not getting this inside the building. Let me go get it from Tom Brady.
What do you think about what you just heard there from Kurt Warner on our afternoon show?
Well, I think that Kurt Warner said something like that on Twitter and got like a really interesting reaction. I think that Caleb may have stepped in it a little bit is what I think. I think the problem that you have if you're Caleb Williams is that you show up in Chicago. He came out as a junior. He did transfer from Oklahoma. He had won the Heisman Trophy. The guy had $10 million in the bank in NIL money. It's hard to believe. He had his own personal quarterback's coach. It is hard to believe that he got to Chicago and was like on his own and shrugging and looking around.
Why am I so lonely?
Yeah, exactly. Why am I not, you know, why is no one telling me what to see here on this tape? I think Ben Johnson is gonna solve all these issues, but I think that Ben Johnson has talked about, it was the first, one of the first things he said when he was introduced about the quarterback having the same mind as the play caller, seeing the game the same way. I think that he's going to break down tape with him. I think you want to watch some tape, son? Now we're going to spend 40 hours a week just watching tape on your time. So the help is there. The player can get better. The pressure is on. This is all about Caleb Williams, and he's got another step to take. And I can't help but wonder, you know, they didn't look at anybody else. That was there an agreement that you're our guy, we're not even going to interview Jaden Daniels? Does Jaden Daniels know how to watch tape? Did somebody help him do it? Did he learn how to do it first? There's a lot of problems with a lot of what's happened with this stuff.
Well, I feel like, and I felt like this in the beginning, I think I said it in the beginning, the organization, if not the organization, the coaching staff for sure, were afraid and intimidated by Caleb Williams and his status as the overall number one pick and the future QB1 of this organization and didn't really know how to handle it. The fact that we found out when they did dismiss not only the offensive coordinator but then the head coach, that the quarterback's coach wasn't talking to the quarterback. Like, what?
He was the passing game coordinator.
The passing game. What does the quarterback do? He passes the ball. They weren't like, really? I mean, give me a. Yeah. Like, that just shows you that something was going wrong up at Hallis Hall. So listen, onward and upward. Turn the page. Move forward. Ben Johnson's there. Caleb, you're not going to be alone anymore.
Yeah, I think to. You sit here in a studio and we talk about all of the things going on in Chicago sports and we want to be strong with our opinions and all of that. But I think in this case, this is a quote that to me cries for context. It
yes.
really does.
Yes.
And taken out of context, I think we all have jumped to some conclusions that may or may not be accurate or may not be responsible because we have a snippet from an interview for a book that was turned into an article that we have now taken as an epistle about the offseason for the Bears and the future for Caleb Williams. It cries for context. To me, this speaks to just how poor the rapport and the relationship was between Caleb Williams and the previous coaching staff. Matt Eberflus was an awkward communicator. That's being kind. Shane Waldron didn't communicate. That's being real. So the combination of those guys, you could see why at times Caleb Williams would want some help in communicating with guys whose job it was to make sure that rapport and that relationship was tight and was the most important thing in the building. And frankly, it wasn't. They neglected that. That's on them. But it's also a moot point. They're gone. They were fired for their inability to get the most out of this young man. He's still a young man. So Ben Johnson arrives with his new staff. I guarantee you he's not watching film alone. Not anymore. He's going to be, he's not worried about how many voices are in his head. They're all talking. They're all asking. They're all filling his brain with all of these thoughts and all of this new stuff. So I think this is an old story that cries for context. Maybe we'll get it tomorrow when he addresses the media.
Can I say one other quick thing?
There's your ball game.
You know, let's keep in context. When you talk about Caleb wanted to go to Minnesota and had a relationship with the coach and he's the quarterback whisperer, you know, Dan Quinn was the head coach behind the bit. So do you want to play for Matt Eberflus, defensive guy, Dan Quinn, defensive guy, who was in New England, who was the former linebacker, defensive guy, or do you want to play for a guy in Minnesota that is a quarterback whisperer? It doesn't surprise me at all that there was a relationship there when you look at the head coaches involved.
What are you most interested in tomorrow's NFL meetings? A vote against the tush push that will prevent the evil Eagles from overwhelming the rest of the league, or the vote to change the playoff seeding format 1-7 strictly by regular season record?
I can't believe we're still talking about the tush push. I hate the fact that they're banning it. I think it's soft on the Packers' behalf to bring it up, but it seems like it's just, good God, get rid of it already. They're going to figure out another way to circumvent it. It's just going to be a one-yard quarterback dive, all right? It's and the Eagles are probably going to do it better than anybody else. I find myself not really that into the flag football conversation, and really if they're going to pass that and all that, and not that it's un-American, but like I don't know that I really care and link the NFL to flag football and Olympic football. Seems kind of an odd thing. I'm curious about the reseeding of the playoffs. I'm curious about the defensive holding and the automatic first down, the touchback going to the 35. All these things are relevant, more relevant to me than the tush push, which we're over talking, and the Olympics.
Well, unless the NFLPA is getting involved with this tush push, is that like other players are worried about injuries because of it? It's been going on this long. It's not a dirty play. You know, if you can't stop it, do better. Right? Get more people around that can do it, or get somebody defensively that can figure out a way to stop the play. I'll be very disappointed if the tush push is voted out of football.
You know, David is on it as always. And I would say that the tush push, that is such a, I don't think the benefit the Eagles get is because somebody is pushing behind them and they're in a rugby scrum. I think it's because the line gets down, they figured it out, and their quarterback can carry like 900 pounds on his back, and we've seen him do it for fun in the weight room. That is the difference between them and everyone else. It's not because someone gave him a little shove in the rear end. So good, get rid of it. You can't do it. Guess what? They're going to come at you, and they're going to run a QB sneak. And you know the only way to stop that is if you somehow got rid of like cadence. If you no longer could go like, if they changed the cadence so the defensive guys could get off the ball in the same speed as the offensive guys, that would end that play.
That would end the advantage of that play. That's an interesting part of that conversation.
If that's what you want to do. But yeah. I hate the idea that they're going to get rid of the play because the Eagles do it better than everyone.
I know.
But the really interesting thing here is the reseeding of the playoffs. That to me is going to be really fascinating. So the idea now would be that you no longer go by, you no longer decide thing by head-to-head competition against each other. You decide it by record. And everything comes down to that, and they have different rule changes. They reseed the playoffs every round. So if two teams, somebody gets beat, if you're a lower seed, you're going to have to play the best teams to win a title. And they're trying to give an advantage to the teams that produce during the regular season. I find it really interesting that like an upset in the first round doesn't give a team an advantage in the second round. I like that idea, and I think it is kind of cool, and I will be very interested to see what other rule changes they come up with. But I'm with you. I'm so with you on that put the tush push thing. All right. 312-644-6767. We got the extra point next. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Ring the bell. Golden Oak Lending has lowered rates. Lower your mortgage payment, get cash out, or pay off credit cards. Visit goldenoaklending.com today.
Golden Oak Lending, cured my blues.
NMLS 114937.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
This extra point.
It's time for the extra point with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
Do you feel any better knowing the Bears tried to trade up a spot with the New England Patriots to land running back Trayvon Henderson at 38 before taking Luther Burden? Does that tell you how they are, that they may be a running back short? Are you expecting Caleb Williams to speak at some point this week up at Hallis Hall and put all the book fodder behind him?
All right, two different things there. I think, yes, Caleb Williams should address this before it goes any further, because if it does lack context, he can help provide some. So I think it would behoove him to do that. Sooner rather than later, maybe tomorrow makes sense. As for the revelation on the behind-the-scenes offseason video the Patriots put together, forged in Foxborough, this was a fascinating little tidbit. There was video of the Patriots considering a trade from the Bears to move up one spot. They offered a seventh-round pick to move up one spot. To me, that's not very enticing. If they really wanted to move up one spot and you're Ryan Poles, offer a fifth. Offer a fifth. If you wanted Trayvon Henderson at that spot where the Patriots decided to stay and take him, then the Bears didn't do that. They stayed where they were, and they took Luther Burden III, and they used that seventh-round pick on Kyle Manungai. So basically you're asking, would the Bears be better off with Burden and Manungai or Trayvon Henderson in the second round as a running back? I think, objectively, you could make the argument that Trayvon Henderson would have been the play, that you would go into the draft with a question at running back and you'd be able to have answered it better than they have now. It's still, it's May 20th. They don't have a running back.
But isn't it crazy the way they celebrated the Luther Burden?
I know. That's why I don't think they wanted to make the deal.
Yeah.
I think the Bears offered a seventh. Like, well, at least we can say we tried. Somebody must have been satisfying somebody else's wish, because Ryan Poles was not fixated and convicted on making that move up. If he had, Mully, you know that. A seventh-round pick is like, well, you know, I'll throw in five.
Yeah.
I'll throw in 10. No, they didn't want to do that necessarily, because they did celebrate Luther Bird in the third. Fascinating behind-the-scenes stuff.
It is fascinating, but let's go to the Caleb Williams thing first. I'm more surprised that this has not been addressed yet, meaning I'm more surprised Caleb didn't take to social media. He didn't pop on a podcast. He didn't write a column in the Players Tribune to address it. So I expect him to speak this week, and I expect that even before he takes questions that he – here's – I would advise, if I were asked, just before you guys, before we get started, I want to address what you guys saw in this book. Don't just get ahead of it and then just say, that's it, we're turning the page and we're moving on to the Ben Johnson era here with the Bears. Okay, so I'm not saying it's lies, but if they were so fixated on the running back, okay, fine. They passed in the second round. There were five more rounds till they got to the seventh round and landed on a running back. That's what I think Luther Burden's going to be really good. I do. I think he's going to be really good. But I don't – if they really wanted a running back, there were four other opportunities to land one, and they waited until the end. It's very confusing. So I don't know about the whole idea of pacifying somebody.
Are they a running back short?
To be determined.
Yes. I think, no. Yes, they are.
But they're. I think they're the pound guy. They're the short yardage guy short. Because what we don't know what's going on with the former Texas running back. What's going on with that kid with the concussions? Can he get the short yardage? Can he pick up a block every once in a while in passing situations? We just don't know what's up.
Trevion
with Roshan.
Henderson's going to be a really good NFL player.
Well, and to your point on that, Mully, that's the thing. Now your eyes as a Bears fan and a Bears observer are going to be on him. You know, what could have, should have, maybe been, right?
You know, the forged in Foxborough thing, among other things in that, there's a point where the head coach who would not make it was interesting because he wouldn't have made a very good impression on the Bears version of Hard Knocks. He said something along the lines of, "I don't give a bloop about last year, anything that happened last year." I think that's where the Bears are. Frankly, I think that, you know, what he said is accurate. I don't think Ben Johnson cares what happened last year.
I don't either.
I don't think it impacts him whatsoever.
That's why I don't think this is a big deal.
Exactly. I'm trying to combine the two things. I agree with exactly what you're saying, David. I don't think it's a big deal. I think the kid could put this behind him. I think there's a lot of people really hung up. He didn't want to come here. He didn't go on to come here. Then you just, that's simple. Hey, everybody had a defensive coach. I was looking to go with a guy that could run an offense.
Big, great explanation. But has he done anything to make you think he doesn't love being in Chicago?
No, nothing. So I think you say that, you know, anything that happened before the draft, anything that happened before I arrived is meaningless. This has nothing to do with what we're after. I think the fact that he got no help watching film is an interesting story, and that's the bigger story. But I think people are on the wrong subject here. And I think that I would love to just talk to him about how he watches tape and what it means and all that. But it's all irrelevant because Ben Johnson is going to change because he doesn't care what happened last year or who helped him look at tape. He's going to sit down with the guy and make sure you see the game the way I do so that when we call plays, we're in lockstep. And that's going to be a friendship that can last 10 years.
Good point.
All right. 312-644-6767. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
The pitch to Sanchez. Pulled fair inside first. Down into the right field corner. The tying run is in. Here comes the winning run, and the ball game is over.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 the Score. Yeah. Let's try Kevin. Kevin is in Palatine. Hey, Kevin.
Good morning, guys. David and both of you, I appreciate you defending me to our friend Sean and Elgin. But let me
anytime.
Yeah. So I don't trigger Sean this morning. I just want to say something. I love Kyle Tucker. I want him signed. But that ball should have been caught last night. He got a horrible jump. That ball should have been caught.
The triple.
Both of you would agree.
The one he ran into the wall.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Let me tell you something. He's struggling right now. He's off. I don't know what's wrong with him, but he's not hitting right now. And he was off in the outfield. You wonder about a guy that's kind of having those kind of issues. It's weird.
I don't disagree, Kevin. I think that he probably should have caught that ball. He is struggling. He's starting to hit the ball a little bit harder. You heard Ron Coomer last night during the broadcast say he thinks that this slump, this mini slump,
yes,
everything's relative, is about to end.
Okay.
So if Coomer's predicting and projecting, he knows what he's looking at. He knows what he sees. I'm going to have faith in Coomer.
But he was awkward in the outfield, and he looks awkward at the plate.
He probably should have caught that ball.
He should have caught
that
ball.
It was a triple.
It was weird.
Yeah.
All right, 312-644-6767. We'll be right back. It's Mully and Haw on The Score.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Ring the bell. We've done it again. Golden Oak Lending has lowered rates to 4.875 fixed. Lower your monthly payment, get cash out, pay off credit cards, and best of all, make no mortgage payments for 2 months. Lock in this incredible 4.875 rate and get your cash in as little as 14 days. Visit GoldenOakLending.com today.
Golden Oak Lending, cured my blues.
5.81 APR, FHA, 15-year, 20% equity qualified credit. Additional terms apply. NMLS 114937.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.